I'm sure you'd agree with me that it would be a life-changing experience for these two people on the road that day. And this is possibly one of the more familiar post-resurrection encounters ordinary people have with the risen Lord Jesus. It's only recorded here in the Gospel of Luke, but Mark in his Gospel has this to say. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. Do you ever wish you could turn the clock back? You remember when? It's been referred to possibly as the good old days. On that first Easter Sunday morning, the disciples were terribly afraid. They were without hope. The bottom had fallen out of their world. They were not expecting a sequel to the story. The two on the Emmaus Road were typical of the rest. The two disciples returning to Emmaus at first missed the significance of history's greatest event because they were so focused on their own disappointments and problems. So much so, they failed to recognize Jesus, who was walking beside them. And to make things even more difficult for them, the problem was compounded because they were walking in the wrong direction. You see, they were walking away from fellowship of others and the other believers who were in Jerusalem. And we're likely to miss Jesus and withdraw from the strength found in other believers when we become preoccupied with our own dashed hopes and frustrated plans. We've got to remember, it was only the previous week. They'd hailed Jesus as their king. Remember the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And now they'd been at the cross. They'd witnessed the crucifixion. In John's Gospel, he lists some of the people who were there at the foot of the cross. And Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was there. And so let's assume that as these two were walking along, it was Cleopas and his wife that were on the road. And you can begin to understand how they were feeling. They'd gone from the elation and the excitement of the previous Sunday to the crucifixion. It was going to be a long, slow, 7-mile walk home back to Emmaus. And as they were walking, quite naturally, they were talking things over between themselves, trying very hard to come to terms with all that had happened. They'd not really understood the teaching of Jesus while he was alive and the various references he had made to rising on the third day. They had thought that death and burial, quite naturally, would be the end. But how wrong could they have been? Because Jesus joined them on their journey, even if they didn't recognize the person that was there with them. And so Jesus asked them a very natural question. He wanted to know what they were talking about. He wanted to join in their conversation. And so the conversation didn't stop when Jesus joined them. Their faces said it all. And so very often, it's our facial expressions that reveal how we are thinking or feeling. No matter how well we try to conceal it, so often if someone asks you how you're feeling, you're going to answer them and say you're fine, when deep down you're not really fine and you're just hoping that they can't read your facial expression. And so you can imagine the surprise of Cleopas when he asked Jesus, "Are you the only one, the only visitor to Jerusalem that didn't know what had happened these last 3 days?" And because it was Passover week, the Jews from all over the Roman Empire would have flocked to Jerusalem. And this was no small, insignificant event in the city. Everyone there knew what had happened. They'd witnessed the crucifixion. But if Cleopas and his wife had been familiar with scriptures in their confusion, they might have remembered that back in the start of Luke's Gospel, it reminds us of the words of Simeon. For my eyes have seen your salvation, when Jesus was taken up to the temple. And then there were the words of the prophetess Anna, who said about the child Jesus. They were looking forward to the Redeemer. They were looking forward to the Redeemer of Jerusalem. But all their hopes now had been dashed. It had not happened as they thought it was going to happen. They were counting on Jesus to come and redeem Israel. And that was to rescue the nation from their enemies. When they saw Jesus on the cross, they'd lost all hope. They didn't realize that Jesus' death offered the greatest hope possible to all mankind. They mentioned that some women had seen the empty tomb, but they didn't realize that Jesus had in fact risen. They knew other disciples had seen the risen Jesus, but still they were filled with sadness. And so when Cleopas had finished talking, look at the way Jesus answered him and how he begins to talking the conversation with them. He turns around and says, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe." How would you feel if someone turned around and said to you, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe"? I'm sure you wouldn't be feeling very comfortable, especially knowing that it was coming from a stranger. But in all this confusion and their upset state, the couple on the road hadn't forgotten. They'd forgotten the well-known Old Testament prophecies made by God. And so Jesus had to begin explaining to them what was meant. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we have the words of reassurance. "I will never leave you or forsake you." David in his psalm echoes many of these thoughts as well. When you think of the well-known Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." For you are with me. And there are many other verses that remind us of God's continuing presence with us at all times. But it can be so easy, can't it, to know the theory. But in a crisis, we so easily forget things. We ask questions and we doubt. But again in the Psalms, David has the wonderful words in Psalm 139, confirming just how well God knows each one of us, confirming that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. "You know all about me. You know when I sit down, when I lie," and so on. So if you get time, just reflect on Psalm 139 and be reassured at how well God knows each one of us. As Jesus was walking along the road with these two people, he listened patiently to everything that had been told by the couple. But he then turned them back to the scriptures. He took them on a journey through the Old Testament, explaining to them what was said concerning himself. It shows us that Jesus is the thread. He's woven right through scripture. He's the central theme that binds the Old and the New Testament together. Let's remember, in the beginning and at the end, Jesus was there. When we are puzzled and we question, or when we have problems, we should go to Scripture for help. If we don't understand, get alongside someone and ask them to help you with the power of the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures as they're read. God's Word is a living Word, and it's just as relevant today as when it was first inspired by the Holy Spirit. But as the day was drawing to a close and as they were coming to the end of their journey after their 7-mile walk, the couple offered the stranger hospitality that night. And we should be people who offer hospitality. In Hebrews chapter 13, "Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, Some have entertained angels without knowing it. And so these two, this couple, were asking Jesus to come and join with them over a meal in the evening and stay with them. Jesus may have taken a bit of persuasion because, as we read, he was thinking of carrying on his journey. But he didn't go on the journey, he stayed with them. And perhaps here a new friendship would develop. But it wasn't until they responded to his presence by showing him hospitality and urging him to come in to eat with them that they actually revealed himself to them. It was as he was breaking bread. And very often, we allow circumstances to get us down. Our minds are so full of doubts, questions. We've sometimes got more questions than answers. We often question if God's actually there. Why do things have to happen in a particular way? And it's only when we allow Jesus to come alongside and to talk with us and us with him, the invitation's given. Again, in the Gospels, we read these words, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." And so this morning we've got to ask ourselves, are we yoked with Jesus? Is he our constant friend and companion through life? Are we following him and the way that he is leading us? And so we said earlier that Jesus accepted the invitation from the couple to go in and have a meal with them. He went into an ordinary place, in everyday circumstances, and over a meal, when Jesus gave thanks, he broke the bread, and they realized who their house guest was. I'm sure from that point on it would have been a life-changing experience for them. Things would never be the same again. They were so excited. They couldn't contain it to themselves. They had to go and share their experience with that they'd experienced with the risen Jesus. They had to go and tell others. Look at how they described their feelings as they were walking along the road. Were not our hearts burning within us? There was an excitement there as Jesus shared with them the good news that he was alive. You just get a French sense of their passion now and what they would do. They wanted to go and share this good news. We don't even know if they'd finished their evening meal. But they couldn't wait to travel the 7 miles back down to Jerusalem. It wouldn't be a hard slog for them this time because there would be a fresh joy in their step. What about you? Are you just as excited about your experience with Jesus when you first met him today as you were when you first encountered him? Have you invited Jesus to come in? Or is he standing at the door knocking? We're all familiar with Holman Hunt's picture of Jesus standing on the outside of the tree, gently knocking, waiting on the door to be opened from the inside because there's no handle on the outside. Jesus is knocking, but he'll only come in if you invite him in. When you open the door, don't leave him standing in the hallway. He wants to come in and be a part of your home. He wants access to every room in your house, just the same way as he wants access to every part of our lives. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, where we have the Great Commission, we have these wonderful words, "And surely I will be with you always." They thought the adventure was over, but it had only just begun. They thought there was nothing left but memories. But suddenly the future beckoned, rich with promise. The night had ended. A new day was dawning. Life was beginning again. For of course, we didn't meet him that day, despite what we thought. He met us. Today, Jesus wants to walk with each one of us on the journey through life. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This morning, Jesus is closer than you think. All we've got to do is reach out, invite him in. He's calling us by name. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, we read these words: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Are you walking and talking with the Lord day by day? Amen.